Please turn with me tonight to Paul's letter to the Galatians, chapter 1. Galatians, chapter 1, verse 3. Galatians, chapter 1, verse 3. Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father. My title tonight is Rescued from Sin and Evil. Rescued from sin and evil. So Christ came into this world to rescue us from sin and evil. And this is taken from, I believe, a unique letter, the letter to the Galatians. It is a unique letter. If I may even say, it is a sweet letter with a fiery tone, but with good reasons. I wouldn't dare to give you some of the reasons, but unique letter with sweet and fiery tone. And Paul expounds, really, the uniqueness of the gospel, the beauty. He's placarding for us the beauty of the gospel, the greatness of the gospel, the importance of the gospel. And Galatians has been called the Magna Carta of Christian liberty or Christian freedom. This is a wonderful letter before even I come to the verses. And it has been instrumental and influential in the life of many, many godly men. Martin Luther, the German reformer, called it my Katie. The Katie is the name of his wife. So he was wedlocked with the letter to the Galatians. And if you have never read The Bondage of the Will by Luther, oh, that's a classic. It's a wonderful book about how we are in bondage, in sin, and unless we are liberated by the Lord Jesus Christ, we will remain in the chains. And yes, we may think we are free in this world, but indeed, we are slaves of sin. Oh, many others. John Calvin, another reformer, loved Galatians. John Knox also loved it. And Jonathan Edwards, we could multiply the names of people who have been blessed by Paul's letter to the Galatians. But Paul, verse 1, is defending his apostleship. He's an apostle, and he's given a defense, given his credentials. Oh, I received my calling not of men, in plural, neither by a man, in singular. So this is the man who is speaking to us through inspiration. God has given these words to him. God has inspired him to write this letter to help us to understand the work of Christ done on the cross of Calvary. But this is also a correcting view letter. It is correcting the view that you can have Christ plus something else. Please, before I go any further, this is very important. Anything plus Christ leads to nothing. So, which means you and me, in order to be saved, I must believe only in the sole work of Christ done on the cross of Calvary, plus nothing else. If not, we will spoil it. Don't add to it. That's why I said it's a correcting view. It's a correcting letter to bring us to understand what is the true gospel. The emphasis in the letter of Paul to the Galatians is about the cross. And there are 10 instances. Don't worry, we will not go into them. But if you want to do a study to know what Galatians is all about, this is the letter which emphasizes the most about the cross of Calvary. 10 instances at least, the cross is mentioned, about its work, about why Christ went to the Calvary, and how we are saved from a curse because of the work of Christ on the cross of Calvary. So the emphasis of this letter is about Calvary. It's about the redeeming work of the Lord Jesus Christ on that cursed piece of wood on which he was crucified. But just last, I know this is a long introduction, but one last thing. The five verses which really we have to consider tonight in the lapse of time we have before us, they are packed with the presence of God. And later, you can count it for yourself. God the Father, with the pronouns, is mentioned at least five times, with the pronouns. But the Lord Jesus Christ is also mentioned at least five times. So, five verses, it's almost in every verse, there is a hammering about listen to God, he's our Father, listen to Jesus Christ, he's not just another man, this is the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. But I must move on. Now, as I said, my title, my subject is Rescued from Sin and Evil. Oh, if you are here and you have never found the Lord, you have never cried unto the Lord to help you. You see, Christian life doesn't make you miserable. It's the world which is making you miserable. Most time people are saying, oh, if I go to church, if I believe in the Lord, you know, I cannot do this, I cannot do that, I cannot go there. But this is not what Christian life is all about. Of course, once you know God, there are places you would never go. There are things you will never think about. There are things you will never look at, and so on. But the gospel is to make us joyful. Yes, we know how to be joyful. We know how to be serious. But never think, if I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, my life will be miserable. The world will make our life miserable. So how can I be rescued? How can I have the forgiveness of my sins? How can I have my name written in God's book in heaven? So these few verses will give us an answer tonight. The first one I want to draw your attention on is verse 3. And we have there, grace be to you and peace. Grace and peace. Paul has written 13, maybe 14 letters in the New Testament. But there are no two letters which are similar or which are alike. But there is something over and over, again and again. He couples together those two words. Grace, peace. There is not a single letter among the 13, if you put Hebrews, it will be 14, where he doesn't mention grace and peace. But I'm drawing your attention on this because it is very important. Peace flows from grace. And interestingly, in the Word of God, it is never reversed. You do not find a single verse in the Word of God where it says peace and grace. Always the two are coupled. Grace and peace. You know why this world is in chaos? You know why there are so many tragedies? Because people are trying to reverse it. They want peace without grace. They want peace without God. They want peace without conversion. They want peace without faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Bible says there is no peace for the wicked. And we are all wicked unless we are reconciled with the living God, finding conversion and trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. So grace speaks about what? Grace speaks about the unmerited love of God. Grace speaks about the unmerited favor of God. Actually, grace is unjustified. So if you are saved tonight, if you come to the Lord Jesus Christ in repentance and you trust in him, there is not a single merit you will boast about and say, God, I did it. God, I contributed something. God, I added something. God, I came with something. God does it all. Salvation, Jonah chapter 2, verse 10, salvation is of the Lord. So I cannot contribute anything into my salvation. That's why we say grace is unjustified, it is unwarranted, nothing I contribute, and I do not deserve it. The free gift of God. Free gift of God. This is what grace speaks about. Now, peace, we can spend, really, we could just dwell tonight on that word, peace. Christ in the Bible is called, Isaiah chapter 9, Christ is called the Prince of Peace. In John 14, verse 27, Christ speaking to his disciples, you know his legacy? He said to his disciples, "My peace I give unto you." Not like the world. The world, you see, the world can say, come, come and have peace, have tranquility, have serenity and so on. But the world attracts us to assassinate us. That's what the world does with us. But when the Lord says, come, I will give you my peace, he gives us a peace that will remain forever. A peace which passes all understanding. We cannot understand it. If I can speak to the younger ones, you know, when we come to the Lord Jesus Christ, we believe in him. While you are still young, even as a child, you are saved from so many pains, so many pains. Ask the older ones who have tasted the world. They have tasted what things of this world are contributing, the damage it's doing to your soul, to your body, to your mind, to your thoughts. Wherever, there is no hope in this world. Oh, the pains, but you come to Christ while even you are still young, you will be spared from so many tragedies, and the Lord Jesus Christ in his mercy will protect you. I know sometimes the younger ones are saying, you are a killjoy, you don't want me to enjoy life, but you can enjoy the Lord, if this is the way to put it, and you will see. This world, we say often, the world is like a chewing gum. You know, you match it, and very soon what happens? It is tasteless, and you want to get rid of it. So that's what the world does to us. My dear friends, come to Christ. He gives peace. And that peace, Colossians chapter 1, verse 19, was procured to us on the cross of Calvary. Christ purchased that peace for us. And he is our peace. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14. Christ is our peace. He gives us that peace because he himself is the Prince of Peace. We cannot do enough to please God. In his fullness, John chapter 1, in his fullness, we have received grace for grace. And in him, in the Lord Jesus Christ, where sin abounded, grace abounded even more. This is the teaching of the Bible about grace and peace. We contribute nothing. We bring nothing to God. Salvation is by grace, and it brings peace. Please, can I know I can get passionate about these things, but can I challenge any one of us? Seek the Lord. Seek his grace. Seek his peace without delay. You know what God did for us? While we are still sinners, God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son to give us grace and peace. But if you look at Galatians 1 here, but also for God to become our Father. God being my Father, the God who fills heaven and earth, he made himself so in a condescension. He became so small, becoming a man like you and me, yet without sin. There is no religion. I studied religions, but there is no religion which can give you such a free grace and everlasting life, relationship with God, and being forgiven forever. That's what the gospel gives us. But I must move on because there is more to come. Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 4, who gave himself for our sins. This is the self-giving Savior. So we spoke about grace and peace, never to be reversed. But now you find the self-giving Savior. But please, do you see, in these five verses, as I said, they are God-centered, you find the title of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is referred to as the Lord Jesus Christ. the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is the man who gave himself. And those of us who study history, we know that in the Romans epoch, in the Romans era, thousands and thousands of people were crucified. There was nothing great about that. But you see, the one who gave himself is not a mere man walking in the streets. This is the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus means God saves, and Christ, the anointed one, the chosen one, the appointed one. That's the meaning. So Christ died on the cross of Calvary because he chose to do so. There was no reluctance in him. Willingly. So Christ's death on the cross of Calvary, I have to point these things to you. It was a voluntarily death. He went to the cross by himself. Christ's death on the cross of Calvary was vicarious, if that's the way to pronounce it. Which means he died on the cross on behalf of sinners, of other people who will trust in him. But thirdly, Christ's death on the cross of Calvary was victorious. It was a triumph. It was not a tragedy. He went willingly to the cross. Christ didn't die on the cross of Calvary as a victim or as a martyr, but he died as a victor. Christ the victor. This is how you must look at the death of Christ on the cross of Calvary. So he willingly went to the cross and he died on that cross because he wanted to do so. Oh, there are so many verses. In Titus chapter 2, we are told that Christ gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity. In Ephesians 5 verse 2, Christ loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and sacrifice to God. 1 Timothy chapter 2 verse 6. Oh, that's the classic verse to memorize. There is only one God, but also there is only one mediator between God and man, Christ Jesus the man who gave himself for us. Christ gave himself as a ransom for sinners. So these are all verses where you can see that Christ gave himself. It was willingly, voluntarily. He was not pushed. He was not dragged. He was not forced. Oh, we could multiply. You know, my dear friends, Christ has, there are so many occasions, as you read the New Testament, he had so many occasions to avoid the cross. But you know what? He went there. And as I often mention in this church, Christ didn't go to the cross head down, head up, because he was victorious. He knew that this is the only way. In Luke chapter 9, we are told that steadfastly he set his face to go to Jerusalem. So my dear friends, the Lord Jesus Christ is the good shepherd who gives his life for his sheep. The Lord Jesus Christ is the bridegroom who gives his life for his bride, the church. The Lord Jesus Christ is the master who gives his life for his servants, and his servants, he changed them and transformed them, and they become his friends. Oh, God pitied us. He pitied our faith. He pitied our plight. He pitied our condition, and he sent us a savior. But thirdly, look at the verse again. Who gave himself? What is the purpose? Why? Why did Christ came? So we spoke on grace and peace. We spoke on this, on the self-giving Savior. He gave himself. It was his own initiative. Of course, the triune God works together. And it was not something, oh, Christ didn't go. He was not an abused child, regardless to the opinion of some. Oh, God forbid. He went there willingly. Isaiah 53 is very clear. But the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, cooperating in harmony together. And Christ is the one who became a man and went to the cross of Calvary. But look at why did he go to the cross of Calvary. There is a twofold reason. two aspects of the reason why Christ went to the cross of Calvary. They are all given to us in verse 4. Actually, verse 4, my dear brothers and sisters, this is one of those wonderful sums up of the gospel. Just here, you find the gospel in a nutshell. Everything you need to know. Maybe this will be your conversion verse tonight. If you have never sought and found the Lord Jesus Christ, this is it. Who gave himself, why? For our sins. Please don't neglect that small preposition. It is there for a purpose. For means instead of, on behalf of, in the place of. So Christ died on the cross of Calvary as our penal substitution. The substitutionary death of Christ on the cross of Calvary. And he died for sinners who will repent and trust in his precious blood. But do you see something happening in the verse? Who gave himself for what? Our sins. I thought the world is my problem. I thought education is my problem. I thought my neighbor is my problem. But the real problem of this human race, and I'm not exaggerating, the real problem, the hard problem of men and women is the problem of sin. Sin. Many churches. So we are fortunate. Week after week, we speak about sin. We speak about conversion. We speak about Calvary. We speak about the cross of Christ. We speak about repentance. We speak about faith. Week after week. This is a great privilege. Why? Because sin is missing the mark set by God, not by man. Sin makes us to be separated from God. You know, because of sin, we are at war with the perfect God. We are at war with the holy God. Back in Genesis chapter 3, I wouldn't digress on going into that. But you can see that without a sin bearer, we will die in our sins and we will die in slavery. Sin is slavery. That's why Christ came to set us free. It doesn't matter how old you are. Some people think, oh, I'm 60, 70, I have done with sin. Sin is our nature. It is our choice. And we do it in thoughts, in words, in action. And we are surrounded by sin everywhere. That's why Christ came to liberate us from our poor condition. He died an unhuman death so that we may have life. And Christ fulfilled it all the requirement, with an act never to be repeated. He suffered the wrath of God in my place. At the cross of Calvary, there was the greatest transaction for the greatest number of people to be saved. And Christ did it there. In his love, he took upon himself what was mine and gave me what was his. Do you know what? I bring nothing. I mentioned that earlier. You bring nothing on the table, but you receive everything. I receive new heart. I receive the Holy Spirit. God himself come and dwells in my heart. If you do that tonight, you come to the Lord Jesus Christ in repentance, trusting on his work on Calvary, the divine host, the Holy Spirit, comes and dwells in your life. So now you will hate sin. You wouldn't want to do anything with it. Sin becomes your worst enemy. And I receive new character. My prayers now can be heard. Gentleness, the proud person becomes meek. The hurrying, chaste, and turbulent person becomes meek. I receive loyalty. I receive faithfulness. I receive encouragement. I receive God as my Father. He dwells with me. He is with me. He accompanies me in the vicissitudes of life. So I'm not alone anymore. And you know what? One man with God is the majority. So it doesn't matter if the world around me hates the Lord Jesus Christ or not, but I know my soul is saved. My heart belongs to the Lord. And when I die and leave this world, I know where I am going. I'm going to be with the Lord forever. So these are the things God is doing for us if we trust in him. The sinless died for sinners. And the immortal died for the mortal. Amazing. That's amazing. Christ dealt once for all with the sin question. Science will not give you the remedy. Technology will not discoveries and so on. Even if you go and live on Mars or Neptune, wherever, it won't solve the problem until you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. I must say another thing in this verse. Who gave himself for our sins? That's the first reason. Christ died on the cross for our sins. But the second reason, he died to deliver us from this present evil world. And in the Greek text, that word deliver, the emphasis is on the word deliver. The word deliver means rescue from a huge danger, a great danger. It means to be saved. It means to be plucked out from a great danger. That's the meaning of the word deliver. But you see, the Lord Jesus Christ is not only the one who purchased salvation for us, but he is also the one who paid the price. Both at the same time, the purchaser, but also the price of our sins. He paid it. He's the message and the messenger. He's the teacher and the lesson at the same time. Oh, all that we get it free of charge because of what Christ has done on that cross. He suffered. We do not dwell on his sufferings to bring emotions or whatever. But this is a reality. Christ suffered for the sins of those who will believe in him. You know, I'm sure many of us know that song. What a wonderful world. What a big lie. What does Galatians 1 verse 4 says? What an evil world. This world is not as you think. Yes, we have better life. We eat better food, technology, internet, and so on. You can travel from one continent to the next one in a daytime. But this world is corrupted and corrupting, deceiving and deceived. That's the wickedness which you find in this world. That's why we do not dwell, we do not pitch our tent into this world. This world is pernicious. It will never be a better world. Since the fall of man in the Garden of Eden, this world is going upside down. There is a spiral of wickedness going on all the time. And only the liberation from God can make it better and make your life better. It is a sin-sick world. And Satan is the prince of this world. Do you see? It is said that he might deliver us from this present. It's just now. It is vain, it is vanity, and it is passing by. Which means, actually, the Greek word world there is not world, it's the word age. So this age in which we are is coming to an end, and there will be another age. There will be another world. And this is the world we are waiting for as Christians. And Bible tells us in that world, holiness will dwell, righteousness will dwell, the Lord Jesus Christ will dwell. There will be no more tears, no more death, nothing, no sorrows. Oh, to be with Christ is far better. This world will come to an end. And you know what? What makes us to enter into the world to come? Conversion. Conversion gives us already a foretaste of the world to come. Now, even now, as I repent and trust in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, I receive from God freely a foretaste of what life will be in the age to come. That's why the word church, ecclesia, means the called ones out of this world. So you then, another thing you receive, you are now in the body of Christ, the church. And Christ is your head, and he is your savior. Faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ overcomes the world. Salvation is an emancipation from a state of bondage. Christ set us free from sin and evil. Now, I know my time is over, but there are one or two things I would like to say before I close. Look at the verse again. Who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world? You see, where does it come from? according to the will of God and our Father. It was not something concocted by men. The salvation God is given to us takes its origin in the past eternity. Before nothing was created, God said, I will send the Lord Jesus Christ. I will send myself if you want. God said, I will send myself, being God in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And Christ, the second person of the Holy Trinity, became a man, and that him becoming a man was a decision in the counsel of God going back to past eternity. So all was done according to the will of God. Isn't that amazing? As you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, your salvation becomes not of the church. Church cannot save you. Not of a minister. No minister, no priest can save you. Don't go to them. Don't go to any man. Oh, run. Run to the Redeemer, the Savior, the High Priest, the great High Priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. So it was done according to the will of God. That's why Christ could say, let thy will be done. In the volume of the book, lo, I come, the Lord Jesus Christ said. So everything was done by his will in his perfect timing, and nothing can resist his will. All was done in the will and in the counsel of eternity and agreed between the three persons of the Godhead. So Christ's death was not accidental. It was planned, and it was planned by God himself. Now, let me close. You see what salvation does? Once you are saved, look at verse 5. To whom be glory forever and ever. Can I tell you, oh, this is important. This is the only time in the whole New Testament where after his salutation, after his greetings, Paul burst into praise. Why? Because he spoke about the beauties of Calvary. He spoke about the greatness of the gospel. He spoke about the great work done by Christ on the cross of Calvary, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. You see, if you are converted tonight, you will not say, oh, that preacher, because he preached a wonderful sermon, here I am, I'm converted. No, he's nobody. All the glory must go to God. All the glory must be to him alone. And this is why Paul burst, oh, this world is ephemeral, but there is an age of unending time, forever and ever. God rescued us, and we bring praise to him. Praise be to God for his unspeakable gift. We get all the benefits of Calvary, and Christ gets all the glory. But there is that small word, amen. Paul says, amen. It is true. It will happen. If you trust in him, God signed it. Your salvation will happen. God will welcome you, and your sins will be forgiven. Will you repent tonight? Will you come to the Lord Jesus Christ? Oh, dear Lord, show me my sins and help me to repent and find thee. Help me to humble myself before thee. Set me free and I shall be free. Will you trust in this deliverer? Will you trust in this redeemer? Come to him. Salvation is not do-it-yourself matter. It is a gift. If you have never repented, can I plead with you tonight? Young and old alike, children and adult alike, anyone, everyone, come to him, and I plead with you to do so. There is hope for every sinner at Calvary. I could sum up all what I said tonight in one sentence. Christ gave himself for our sins to deliver us from this present evil world, to shower us with grace and peace by the shedding of his blood, according to the will of God, in order to bring glory to God now and forever. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation. Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Let's close our time together by singing our last hymn, I Got Our...